Pray with me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, pour out your Spirit now upon each one of us. Give your Holy Spirit into our hearts, our minds, our souls, that we would hear the call of Jesus, that we would proclaim him to those that we know, and that we would see with spiritual sight what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, as I was driving back from the Mere Anglicanism Conference in Charleston with Brett, I finally had an opportunity to listen to Bishop Barron's sermon. I hadn't been able to do that yet for this coming Sunday. And so Brett was playing it on his phone on YouTube, and after it was done, I turned to him and said, okay, so if tomorrow I just preach that sermon, you can't tell anybody. And then he said, that's fine, but can I send the transcript to Clark now? I am going to use a bit of his sermon, but as I was continuing to prepare, I noticed that this collect has the same threefold pattern in it, a similar threefold pattern to last week's collect. So a three-point sermon was teed up right there in the collect, and I can't go anywhere else. I know that if that sounds like cheating, that's because it is. And that's okay. I love having the prayer book. This three-piece collect prays that we would be given grace for three things. And they're rooted, they're grounded in these lessons. I'm not preaching technically on the collect, or maybe I am. I don't know. Whichever's less theologically inappropriate is the one I'm doing. Let's put it that way. Answer, proclaim, and perceive. Answer, proclaim, and perceive. So answer the call. That's what we pray for first in this collect, that we would be given grace to answer the call that Jesus places on us. First and foremost, this is the call to conversion or to salvation. To have that moment, just like the disciples, to make a clean break with the past and to follow Jesus the rest of our lives. To know that we're sinners and we need God's forgiveness and salvation, and to see that Jesus is the one that offers that to us, and to believe in him as Lord and Savior. That's the first and foremost call that goes out into the whole world in every church. But implicit in praying this collect over and over, what the producers of the Book of Common Prayer, what the church is saying to us, is that Jesus keeps calling. He calls you to salvation, yes, but then he calls you to work, to serve, to love, to give. He keeps calling us, and so we keep praying for the grace to hear what he is calling us to. This week, we'll pray this collect at Wednesday. If you do morning or evening prayer, you'll pray it once a day or twice a day. We keep praying for grace to hear and to answer God's call on our lives. So what might that look like? Well, I think it'll look very similar to what Jesus proclaims in his preaching. He preaches, he begins his ministry by praying and preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Similar to the call of God, that idea of repentance is not a one-time thing. Yes, in the initial conversion of a soul to Jesus, we repent of our old ways and turn to the new ways. This is implicit in the baptism covenant. We turn from Satan, sin, flesh, the world, and we turn to Jesus. But remember Martin Luther, the very first of the 95 Theses, when Jesus preached, repent, he willed that the whole of the Christian life should be one of repentance. That's also in the baptism service. We pray for every candidate that gets baptized. When they fall into sin, we pray they repent and return to the Lord. And so maybe you have something that you need to repent of. A fall into sin. A pattern of habitual sin. That maybe there's something from which this morning Jesus is calling you to repent and return. Or he may be calling you deeper into his kingdom. Repent, why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and in believing in Jesus, you can enter into that kingdom and live in that kingdom on a journey towards the fullness of the kingdom, which is heaven. At Mere Anglicanism, one of the speakers was the rector, Vaughn Roberts. He was actually the rector of the church that I went to when I studied abroad in England, in St. Ebbs, a great evangelical Anglican church. Actually, I couldn't really tell it was Anglican. It was basically Baptists. And I never saw him because I went to the late service because I was a college student, so I slept right in through Sundays. But he's a great leader, a great preacher. And he wrote this excellent book that we've actually used in adult ed before, God's Big Picture. And he defines the kingdom this way: God's people in God's place under God's rule and blessing. So if you're being called deeper into the kingdom, you're being called deeper into one of those things, God's people. Maybe you need to grow in your relationship with the actual people that are here or streaming at home or elsewhere that belong to this church or the church. You're being called to delve deeper into relationship with God's people or God's place. God's place is wherever his people gather. And so for us, that's this building. Maybe you're being called in some capacity to be here more, to serve in this church specifically and give you give its mission, its money, you give your time, your wealth, your service over to this institution, as it were, God's place, under God's rule and blessing. Maybe there's a piece of your life that you have still yet to give over to God's rule, and so you haven't yet experienced God's blessing in that place. Or maybe, thirdly, finally, in this point, so I said 3 points, it's more like 15, they're sub-points, right? Maybe you need to leave something behind. Maybe there's still a piece of that old life or old pattern that you need to leave. And this does not have to be sin. This is distinct from repentance, I think. Because repentance is from sin, but this thing, leaving this behind, it might be a really good thing. It might be a great thing. It might be something that you love. Notice what the disciples leave: their whole career, their families, their communities. Maybe Jesus is calling you to leave something behind in your following of him. Answer the call. Secondly, to proclaim. To proclaim the good news of his salvation. We answer the call and we proclaim the good news of his salvation. Notice in the gospel it says that Jesus from that time on preached. Jesus' main ministry was one of preaching, sharing God's word with people. You may have heard that famous quote. I think it's misattributed. I don't know to whom. Preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. No. The gospel is news. The gospel is a message. The gospel is an announcement of what God has done for the world in Jesus. You have to use words. You can use deeds, you can have good deeds that shine before people and they give glory to your Father in heaven, but the announcement of the gospel is verbal. It's a preaching to a people. And so parents, this is your primary task for your primary audience, which is your children. Grandparents, this is your primary task for maybe your secondary audience, your grandchildren, to preach, to say, to proclaim over and over to them the gospel. And this does not stop when they grow up. When God gives the directions to his covenant people in Deuteronomy 6 of parents teaching their children, when he gives the Ten Commandments, he's also thinking that one of the audiences there is adult parents to their adult children. The whole community of God from all of those four generations is supposed to continue to preach, to proclaim, to share the gospel to each other and to the nations. That we get a hint of this in the gospel itself, that Jesus, the Word, the Messiah, the Jewish Savior, he goes up into Galilee, which is called Galilee of the Gentiles. A small foreshadowing of the fact that the message of the gospel is for the entire world. Every language, tribe, tongue, and nation is to hear this gospel. And in John Piper's words, you only have three options when it comes to the international mission of the church: go, send, or disobey. That's all you can do. You can go on mission, you can send on mission and support the mission of the church as it sends, or you can disobey. I don't recommend that last one. You are called into the international mission of God around the world by the mere fact of being a Christian, and you can and should participate in His mission around the world. You can send. You don't have to go. You can go. You might need to go. That may be what He's telling you to do. But those are your options. You can go, you can send, or you can disobey. We answer the call, we proclaim the good news, and then finally, we do those two things so that, according to this colleague, so that we can perceive the glory of His marvelous works. I think this is kind of the whole of Psalm 139. The psalmist, who I think is David, I didn't check, is very in tune with the fact that everything is God's work. That his individual life is a gift to him from God. That God gave him life and sustains his life, knit him together in his mother's womb, fashioned him in secret. This wonderful mystery of all things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. When we give back to God our time, our talent, our treasure, we're giving him something he gave us first. The whole of the mystery of life is God's gift. And we need to learn to perceive, to see with spiritual sight that fact. That God's at work all around. Notice when he calls the disciples, he says, I will make you fishers of men. He doesn't just call them and then just say, all right, good luck, figure that out. Right? I mean, go be a disciple, No, he makes them. He spends time with them. He's in relationship with them. He works on them, and he does the same to us and in us through the Spirit. He's making us more and more fishers of men, disciples of Jesus, people that reach out, but people that know that behind everything we see is Jesus' own work. I will make you fishers of men. He's making us invisibly, but if we have eyes to see, we can see it, that God is the one doing the work in this church and around the world, and we get to participate in that work as he works through us and in us. He is working. The most important thing to see over and over again is simply Jesus. The cross and the resurrection. Again, there's a bit of a hint of this in the gospel. And this is where I'll lean on Bishop Barron. There's kind of this weird place given, and he specifies in the gospel twice that Jesus is going into the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Why would he specify that? Well, those territories are kind of the northeasternmost, and they would have been the first to suffer the destruction of the Assyrian exile. The great exile of God threatened against the northern tribes came through Assyria down south, and they would have been the first to feel the brunt of God's judgment and wrath. And so this place, Zebulun and Naphtali, is acquainted with darkness. It's acquainted with death. It's acquainted with destruction. But in that very place, the light of the world goes and comes forth. In the very depths of the darkest place of God's judgment, the light shines. Isn't that just the cross? In the deepest and darkest night, the darkness of the cross shines our salvation through Jesus' resurrection. That's what we need to see. That's what we need to behold. That's what we need to perceive as the most glorious of Jesus' works. There's a great prayer towards the end of the prayer book for after communion. I think it's by St. Basil in his liturgy, and it says, we have beheld the likeness of thy death in communion. That is, that when we come forward to receive the body broken, the blood poured out, what we're doing is we're beholding Jesus' death. I wish I could do that in the same way that it seems like Basil could, whatever, how you pronounce that word. But whether or not I can see it as best I can, whether I have 20/20 spiritual sight or not, that's what communion is. It's beholding Jesus, his body broken for us, his blood poured out for us so that we could be forgiven. So would you pray with me, please? God, give us grace this morning to answer your call, to proclaim over and over to all around the good news, and to perceive your glory in our midst through the prayers and especially through the sacrament. In Jesus' name, amen.